Don't know.
I'm a purebred Madrid lady.
Oh my god.
That's what I would tell people in Spain. And they were like, you're American.
Dana is just here to talk about life. She just graduated.
Yep.
From U of A.
Bear down.
And now she's in the work field. So we're going to just talk about, you know, post-grad and variety of topics. Life.
Yeah, we'll get into the rest of it.
Yeah, we'll get into the
Stay
rest
tuned.
Of it.
Stay tuned. It's a little surprise.
Yeah. What did you study?
What did I study? So I, like Lauren said, went to U of A, obviously. I studied family studies and human development and Spanish. So I got 2 degrees, lookout world.
And you're bilingual.
Yeah.
Which yes. is huge.
Say something to our audience.
Sí. Hola. Soy bilingüe. Y... Yeah.
Wow.
¿Qué quieres? What do you want me to say?
Quiero comida.
Why don't we do a podcast in English on our side and you just speak Spanish?
Ah, okay.
Yeah?
Sí.
We'll reach out to a new audience.
Sí. Sí.
Okay. Scratch that.
Okay. Start from
it
the
makes
top.
It seem like you're not
Can
bilingual?
We just completely start over?
It makes it
I
seem
am,
like you
sí.
only know
C. Okay. ¿Qué quieres que...? No sé, no puedo decir mucho, y no sé.
You don't
know. What you're asking of me.
Okay. Okay.
Literally delete all of this.
We might.
Just talk about,
we'll
like, what did you study? What are your future goals,
okay.
like, from your degree? Where do you
sí.
see yourself going
bueno.
In the next, like, year or two?
Sí.
Right after graduation.
Okay. Entonces estudié las familias y el desarrollo humano. So I studied family studies and human development, and I studied Spanish literature. Mm-hmm. And I graduated in May, and for my future, I don't really know what I want to be when I grow up, but right now I'm super interested in foster care. So I just started a full-time job with a foster care agency here in Tucson. Called Gap Ministries. Shout out to Gap, not the clothing brand. But
clarification right there.
Yeah, gotta clarify that. People are like, you're in retail? I'm like, no. Shout out to retail. Retail's cool too. But so I've been working there for a couple months now. I'm learning a lot. I kind of just fake it till I make it and act like I'm an adult and I know what I'm doing, but really, I don't really know anything about foster care until now. Now I do, but I didn't really know much going into it, so.
What kind of things cool. have you been doing?
So I'm a licensing worker, so I license families to be able to provide foster care for children in the system. So I, like,
cool.
interview them, collect all their paperwork, I go to their training classes, I go to court with them.
Yeah. What does training look like?
So my hours are really wonky, but so the training is for people who want to be foster parents, it's 5 weeks of classes.
Okay.
Once a week for 3 hours each week. So it's like a 30-hour training total because there's also online classes you have to do. So I'll be at work till like 10 p.m. sometimes when there's class. I'm not a trainer, but I like will be there at the classes so I can meet the families because then they'll be working with me for the next like couple of years. So
cool.
I get to meet.
What's the best part about post-grad life?
The best part about post-grad life. So it's really sweet to come home and not have homework. I definitely,
yeah.
for my job, I definitely come home and still, like, think about work, but I don't usually have to do anything when I get home, but I imagine, especially for other people's jobs, that's, like, a really big difference between school and not school, so that's sweet. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of pressure off for me right now because I'm just, like, comfortable being where I'm at and learning from my job, and there's a lot less, like, scrambling going on to, like, figure out everything I need to do to graduate. So that's kind of nice. And I actually, like, care about my work now. Like, homework was just checking boxes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so that helps.
What do you miss the most about, like, being in college, if there's anything?
I miss living here with you guys. Oh,
we miss you. What the heck?
Something I miss about school. Yeah, I miss living with you guys. I miss kind of the silliness. And there's something sweet about everyone being up late and having to do homework and like, oh, this sucks, but we're in it together. I miss that for sure. And some classes were really interesting to me. And so I miss the education piece and, like, growing in that. So post-grad is definitely having to seek ways to grow on my own and, like, seek out knowledge without being told to. And so that's, like, that's a new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to shift into a little bit of a deeper topic.
Let's go.
But first we have some facts.
So we're going to kind of transition into, like, something that's become fairly common within, like, college and just young people in general, which is, like, anxiety. So
it's not a bad word. You can say it.
I know. Everybody struggles with it. I do, too. So, but we're going to talk about, like, anxiety and that type of stuff. So just a few things that we found. 30% of college students report stress negatively affects academic performance. I'm sure it's more than that, though.
Yeah, that's but, like last 100%. Podcast, something was super low.
Yeah.
Like,
But that's still quite a bit.
Yeah.
42% say anxiety is a top concern. 85% say they have felt overwhelmed by, like, their last year in their education. And then 25% report they're taking some type of medication along with that.
That's fine.
So, yeah, and that is by the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. So, yeah, that's our, that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So Dana.
Dana. Oh, I wonder if Dana struggles with anxiety. So, Dana, cue. It's okay, I'm just sweating. Hit me, ladies.
Okay. Do you want to just talk a little bit, like, an overview about your experience with anxiety to start?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll just start with saying, I mean, we all have anxiety being human. It's like,
yeah,
that having that type of emotion and, like, getting nervous or worked up about things. And there's a certain amount of healthy stress. But I think what we're talking about more now, like, right now, is, like, clinical anxiety and crippling anxiety to the point where it's, like, affecting your life. And you're mentioning things about, like, medication and people struggling in that way. So just want to clear, like, make that distinction because I think there isn't one. It's hard to even make one, but I don't know. There's kind of
because every student has anxiety when it comes to, like finals, midterms. Sure. Everybody gets that anxiety, but then
there's like,
that
this
point
other level
when it becomes more than just that.
Yeah.
What's that point? What is...
Yeah, so, again, like, there isn't, like, a defining line, I don't think, but I guess it's different for everyone and depends on your coping mechanisms and your genetic makeup and predispositions and a lot of things. I'm not a doctor, so but I don't think there's a hard and fast, like, at this point, this is a problem.
Yeah.
But so my kind of relationship with anxiety and depression started in high school. So towards the end of high school, just struggling with those high school things, relationships, social issues, where am I going to go to college? Who am I? Kind of that, quarter life crisis hitting early, if you will. Yeah. So towards the end of my junior year and into my senior year, I was having a lot of stress, but I didn't feel very stressed. I knew that there were a lot of stressful things in my life, but basically I started feeling a lot of like physical pain because of my stress. And I was like, this is weird. So I remember having a lot of chest pain surrounding a stressful time in high school. So a lot of that, I then it turned into once anxiety and like the stress gets so out of control, then I'm depressed because I feel like I can't overcome the anxiety. And so my body kind of shuts down and I need to sleep all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really sad and I can't get out of bed. And so kind of the physical manifestations of that stress and anxiety and fear of the future became really crippling. And I didn't have the tools to talk about what was going on or deal with the stress properly because I didn't really know what was happening to me. So basically it got to a point that I was really struggling and trying to hide it from my friends and family, but your family kind of lives with you, and so when you can't get out of bed, somebody notices. So my sweet mom really helped me, and she insisted that I go see my primary care physician because something was wrong, and it was manifesting in my body, and so it's like, I guess we'll go to the doctor. Yeah. And so... So for me, dealing with the anxiety and depression, because it was at such an unmanageable point, I started taking medication. It's called, the type of medication I started on is pretty common for people to get prescribed. It's a SSRI. It's a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And so basically you get more serotonin in your brain so that you can... Yeah. Start to function a little better, or like what's more mm-hmm. normal. And so I like to explain, I know people have a lot of hesitation when taking medication for mental health, for anxiety and depression specifically, but for me and what I tell people is it kind of takes the edge off. So that kind of helps you get
like
on track.
Going?
Yeah. But
ready
it's not really the cure.
Do your day.
Yeah. So I started taking that, and that helped a little bit. Went to counseling a little bit, and yeah, it's not been a steady road since then, but that was kind of a big point in my life when things were really hard. And so then I was able to come to college and like manage my anxiety and depression issues a little better.
Yeah.
And so then, yeah, I see it rise and fall. I know my triggers a little better. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a fun little thing I've got on my shoulder.
What is like day to day now that are you currently on medication for it? Are you?
Yeah. So I still take, the same medication. I take a different dose now. And yeah, I think it keeps me a little steady and mm-hmm. kind of just balances the chemicals in my brain. And yeah, I can talk to my doctor about like maybe going off of it later at some point, but right now I don't really need to. And I've tried to, I'm like, oh, I'm good. Yeah. Tried to stop taking my medicine by myself. Highly do not recommend doing that, audience, because don't be dumb. You're not a doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just good with being on it right now, and we're chilling.
What do you think, like you said, you've done counseling or medication or various, I don't know, coping mechanisms, mm-hmm. strategies, mm-hmm. what have you found has worked the best mm-hmm. to help you, like, deal with anxiety in general?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think for me and for most people, talking about what's kind of going on in your brain and your heart mm-hmm. is the most helpful. It's hard to articulate what you're feeling. Sometimes there's no words for it, but it's kind of like a salve for your soul to even like try to put words to it, because then a lot of the anxiety or the shame or the stress kind of loses its power when you speak mm-hmm. it. And so that's the biggest thing for me. And like I said, medicine takes the edge off.
It's not the cure. There's no happy pill.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 would recommend therapy.
Yeah.
No shame in therapy. Seeing a therapist all the time.
I agree.
Yes. And yeah, those are the main things for sure.
When you're having an anxiety attack, everyone has a different way they want people to approach them when that's happening.
Yeah.
And like, what would you say the best way? Like, how do you want, if I were to be next to you?
Yeah. I think you've seen me have an anxiety attack. I know you're looking at me right now.
I was like, I don't know if I should say that or not, but no, I have. Okay.
Yeah, so anxiety attacks, I think just when everything kind of culminates, or it feels like your body is just kind of like, you're going to die. Yeah. Like, this is going to kill you right now. And you're like, we're fine. And your body's like, no, we're not. Okay.
Yeah.
So for me, when that's happening, I typically want to get outside or get some like air. I need to focus on something like physical. So like wash my hands really carefully, or like go and like pour a glass of water, because that brings me out of my like freak out reptilian brain and back to like reality if I'm a person. And so if you can encourage me to do things like that, do little real life things, or just sit with me and like help me breathe. I think those are good things for kind of anybody who's going through that. Like, it's awesome to ask them what they need beforehand if you know they struggle with anxiety or have anxiety attacks, but not necessarily try to talk things through with them in that moment, but just be like, you're okay, you're safe, like help them feel safe and help them breathe.
Breathe. Breathing is good.
You are alive.
Oh man.
So being in a space physically where something like emotional or traumatic has happened previously is super triggering for me. And the biggest thing that just gives me anxiety in general is I get caught in my head and get my thoughts get really circular. And something I've learned is that on like the spectrum of kind of anxiety and depression and some other types of mental issues is that anxiety and OCD are really closely related on the spectrum. And so I really resonate with that because my thoughts get really obsessive.
Okay.
And so if there's something that I think about myself or I feel like is, if I'm struggling with some thought or something comes up in my life that makes me think a certain thing that I'm like uncomfortable with or that I want to fix, that's a huge trigger. And then I'm like stuck in this like swirly toilet of anxiety.
Yeah.
And sometimes, yeah. And you can see it on my face and I like my eyes glaze over. And another tip, if this is happening, it doesn't look like a panic attack, but I'm like spiraling down the toilet. And then you'd be like, hey, buddy, are you here? Are you in real life? So that's kind of vague, but
yeah, no,
just
that,
like obsessive thoughts.
That's a good description.
Yeah.
Thanks. The swirly toilet.
Hey, that works.
Welcome.
Yeah. Mine gets lost in the black hole.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps going.
Right.
Down and down and down.
Oh, what is that?
Until, like, something can pull you out.
Something needs to. That's what I mean,
I
like, the physical things.
The
like,
swirly
go
toilet.
Get water. Go, like, chop some vegetables.
Mm-hmm. What's something that you wish more people knew about anxiety?
I wish more people knew that it is a normal human reaction to stress, but it's like amplified and a little out of control. So I think so many people struggle with it that we kind of are like, okay, this sucks. How can I stifle this and get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
But I heard someone say, actually at the mental health conference at Redemption, if I were to take away your ability to feel this, I would take away what it means to be human for you. And so I wish people knew that, like, it's normal in a lot of ways, and then it's just kind of like squirrely things happen in your brain.
Yeah.
Or alternate answer, I wish people knew that anxiety can be really crippling but not look really crippling. So I might like look like I'm having a totally normal day, but I'm like super not okay.
Did school ever add to your anxiety?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So for me, I'll be like obsessing over one little thing, usually in my like personal beliefs or values or my, my worldview and my existence. And I would like obsess over these like big things. I'd be like, this isn't about school, this isn't about my family, this isn't about my friends or all these stressors going on. It's about this. It's about this obsessive thing that I can't stop thinking about. But really, all the school and all the other stuff is like this huge weight on my shoulders that's like creating this crazy obsessive like focus that I'm having. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So school definitely adds to it, but I didn't always like obsess particularly about school. It was just like, how can I get through all of these life things while trying to survive?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounded very abstract, but
no, that
But anxiety isn't a like physical thing. So the only way you can describe it is kind of abstract, you know?
Yeah.
Because
It's
not actually like something you can really like see or touch.
Yes.
So like a lot of college students have a normal, like a normal amount of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's a concern if that anxiety is affecting like parts of their life outside of school? Or
yeah,
like if it's like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think our like Western culture is obsessed with busyness and obsessed with stress, and it's almost glorified. Like for you to say, oh my gosh, I have to go to the library until like 4 a.m. tonight.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, well, I have to stay up until 7 and drink 7 Red Bulls and like one-upping each other. It's super weird, but so it's just glorified to be super busy and stressed. And so I think it makes it hard for us to find the line of what's healthy stress and what's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if school stress is getting super intense for you, I think it's important to have people in your life around you to check in on you and to notice that and remind you that there's more to life than your academics.
Is there, no, you're right.
No, that was a really good response.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to say about anxiety? Or, should we transition? I'm trying to think of a good way to transition to this.
What are you passionate about?
Yeah, Sarah.
We're gonna bring it back up.
Yeah.
What makes you excited about life?
What makes me excited about life?
What are you super passionate about? Let's talk about it.
I'm like really stoked on babies right now.
All right.
That's what's coming to mind. So my sister just had a baby. I'm going to meet him this weekend. And I get to see babies where I work a lot. And they're just precious little nuggets. And I want to hold all of them. And my job makes me want to adopt everyone. And I'm just like, okay, I can't do that right now. So,
yeah. Someday.
Maybe someday, but, yeah, I care for kids. My job is really awesome, but other than that, I'm passionate about music.
Yeah, you're a really good singer. Oh, and guitar thanks. Player.
Thank you. I really like music. Since graduation, actually, I've been getting into songwriting a little more and kind of unleashing that part of myself, which is cool.
That is really cool.
Thanks. So, stay tuned, guys, for my album to drop.
Dana will be next week to sing her single. Yeah.
Stay tuned. That's not real, but what else? I love Jesus. I love people. I love young women. I'm passionate about Spanish. Yes. Women.
Women.
Spanish. Everyone should know Spanish. Yo hablo español.
I'm working on it.
Good.
I'm trying to narrow it down.
No. That's a lot. That's cool.
Thanks, Sarah.
I don't know. I get excited. On the last podcast, I said I get excited about everything. It's still very true.
It's true. Yeah. I love that about you.
Oh, thanks. thank you so much for coming on our podcast. And being our
guest. Thanks for having me. I'm so honored.
You're great.
Professional at adulting. Not really. I'm in my quarter life crisis, so.
See, this is perfect.
So thanks for having me.
So good. It was really good.
You're really articulate.
That's what I was just gonna say.
You know what? I'm so extra because I was like, end podcast.
Yeah.
Goodbye.